What a guest we've got this week. It's the former madman, Gary O'Connor. Guys, how you doing, mate?
I'm fine.
Reformed character now, though, mate. I just seen you helping grannies across the road there.
Well, that's what kind of guy I am. I always have been that kind of guy. But to be fair, si, you know, I've obviously made a few mistakes in the past. As you said, I'm reformed. You know, I've not touched a drink in 2.5 years. And, you know, obviously I'm starting to build back up my academy stuff. And really try to re-establish myself. I think people have got the wrong impression of me. You know, the people who know me as a person, like I've got the real kind of, what word is it I'm looking for? The real opinion of me, you know what I mean? But as I said, you know, I'm a reformed person, aye.
That's what you're on here for, mate, innit? To show
that's
people.
So
I'm not saying your partner got me through the B licence. Funny guy, man.
Yeah,
wee man, just smoke it.
Smoke it. That's Deeksy's comment.
That's you and Deeks. And you're bringing it a book, mate. I hope you've put plenty of pictures in it for Deeks to read.
Well, it's not that. It's just the book's going to be very interesting because it's about my life from when I was a young boy, you know, all the way up until I basically finished playing. And then my next chapter, obviously, going on to giving back to the community and, you know, helping in all these charities and, you know, working in my second chance brand.
We're going to start when you were a wee laddie growing up.
Right.
What was football like for you growing up?
Well, football was great when I was growing up. Obviously, it's changed now with the pro youth and that. I'm not a great fan of it, to be fair, si. You know, we grew up with boys clubs, you get what I mean, and I like that route. I think there's so much like talent getting missed, and that's why I've started Second Chance Academy as well. Because see, if you didn't make it when you're 16, there's a time limit of about a month where you have to get these kids or they go down the wrong path, and that's our aim, to try and get the kids at that in that short time frame.
So were you picked up from Hibs at 16?
I was. Me and Darren Fletcher trained with Hibs when we were 14. We trained at Leaf Academy. Darren decided to go down to Man U. I had the opportunity to do that. I decided to stay at Hibs and work my way through that way. So there was an option for me to go down there as well.
See, back then, could you tell he'd be a top player, Darren?
He was fantastic, mate. He couldn't get the ball from me. He was just, he was unreal.
Was it, eh?
What a player, honestly. Big, tall, skinny, but you just couldn't get it off him. Technical ability was just unreal.
Right. So you went into Hibs. What was that upbringing like for 16? Well, coming through the youth teams and stuff like that?
Well, there was a lot of big characters in there, si. You came what I mean? You've got John Hughes, you've got Sozi, you've got Latapi, you've got the John O'Neills, the Tellys, Dirk Lehmans. You could go mix with Pat Linen, you could go on and on. You can, and it was a massive dressing room. But we had Donald Park and Malky Thompson as our coaches, and you can yourself Donald Park, you can, what a coach. But nowadays football's changed. You kind of get away with what Donald and that used to do to us.
Come on, tell us what we did.
Well, I'll tell you a wee story. Right, we were playing at Broxburn against Dundee United. I think it was under 16s or 17s. And I remember the Canio boots were out, the white ones, right? And I painted them white, right? So we fucking paint. No, Tipex them white, right? So a pair of Adidas or something, and I Tipexed them white, right? And the fucking game won. It was 1-0 to Dundee United, and 80 minutes to go, and I've scored there. So made it 1-0. But Parky's fucking fuming. He's came into his dressing room, right? And I've took my boots off, and I've put them on the table, right? He's came in, he says, "You see you, you big fucking you with the white boots." I thought I'd a stormer. Mm-hmm. To be fair, I'd scored the goal to fucking make it 1-1. And he's just fucking launched the boots clean up my face. Eh?
Did he, huh?
And he's just fucking walked out. Banged the door and walked out. Get yourselves out of here now.
So was he tough on all the boys, or was it you especially because of your personality and stuff like that?
He was tough on me and Deeks, really tough on us, because he's seen the potential, and his coaching was fantastic, to be fair, but he's seen the potential that me and Deeks had a partnership, because we played with Grant and Hutchie, we played it all the way up, so Donald really took us under his wing, and nearly, he would stay behind and do shooting and coaching and extra things with that. And I have to add as well, Mixu and Dirk Lehman and Craig Brewster, they done extra with me as well, holding the ball up, flicking it on, when it to hold, spin, you can, stuff like that. And that all added and helped my confidence, you know what I mean?
That doesn't really happen anymore, does it? Older guys helping younger guys out
in the Scottish game now. You look down south, man, and all these young boys are coming breaking through and you're kind of 30 grand, 40 grand a week. It just goes to the head, you know what I mean? It's hard.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was the older players such as Yogi and the players you mentioned, Sozzy. How did they take to a young cheeky guy like you? But did they stuff to you?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a few stories to be fair. Frank was quite quiet to be fair, right? Frank was more professional. You know, he was at Marseille. I think he was a cup winner there. And Frank Neil, I like me, Yogi was like, back then, he was a fucking maniac, club captain, eh? He was mental.
What do you mean back then? He's still a maniac.
He's still a maniac, again, aye. But with Yogi, basically, fucking, I don't know if who was on his boots, somebody was on his boots, but like I've polished them, right? In black polish, but I've battered the polish onto them, right? And he's came after me, he's came into the boot room, right? And he's got a brush, and he's shut the boot room door. Right, me and a few other boys like that, he's just started swinging the brush around, smashed me on the fucking head. And then he's grabbed me in a heat look, right? And then he's painting my face black. Looking polish.
Brilliant, eh?
Mental, eh?
Never get away with that these days, would you?
And so he was an animal. He used to go into the gym, right? And he used to do fucking chin-ups, mate. And he used to just batter out like fucking 50 chin-ups. Mm-hmm. Just absolute machine.
Mm-hmm. What, see, would he be, in training, obviously you were a centre-forward, he was a centre-half, would he boot you in training?
Aye. Well, he knew, basically, he was trying to toughen me up as well, because, see, I couldn't get past Yogi, right? Because every time the ball would come up to me, right, he's just fucking coming right through the back of me. And you see the amount of these fucking scars I've got on my ankles and my knees for Yogi, it's unreal. But he was toughening me up, mm-hmm. and that's why I made it so fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So, did you have any idea about when your debut eventually came? Did you have any idea that you were going to make your debut? Well, Alex McLeish, wasn't it?
Aye. Well, what happened is, I told you, I was at Peterhead.
Two Peterhead legends, mate.
Aye, exactly. Fucking right, si. You need to win the league, though, si.
Well, mate, we'll do it for you,
Good lad. aye, so I was at Peterhead, and I got a phone call. I was at a hotel, I got a phone call. To reception, and it was Big Alex on the phone. He says, and I'd just scored in the derby game against Brechin, and he says, look, he says, we're short of numbers. Can you come down to Dundee and stay in the hotel? It's quite strange to me because I was young, eh? It was like 16, 17. And you see going down, and they sent a car up for me and took me down, and see going down, man, fucking stomach and that, because you're going in with a tappy and that, and nearly I wasn't training with him at the time. I was still in the youth, you can training with Parky, and to be fair, Parky phoned me up, and Alex and Andy Watson and that met me at the hotel. They assured me, put me in a room myself. Then we went to Dens Park. I think I came off the bench.
Did Alex tell you the night before there's a chance you were getting on, or do you think you were just there to make the numbers?
Nah, he says, you're definitely got to get on. He says, I've been watching you, you've been flying. He says, you're definitely got to get on. McLeish loved me, as we'll go into him later on in the interview. I've got so much respect for him as well. And I think I came on for the last 20 minutes and we were cruising 3-0. You get what I mean? Fucking Frank Sozzi's pinging balls onto my chest for 50 yards. Fucking Latapi skinning folk playing me in. Fucking boom. And then I've went up for a header and I've came down on my left metre dashboard and I've snapped it. So it's like kind of fucking brilliant to be involved in the first team and then to get an injury.
The big difference for Suazi swinging in your chest for running channels at Peterhead, innit? See, with younger players, was McLeish good with him?
Aye.
Well, did he just give you confidence all the time?
Aye, brilliant, honestly. I think he's, even when I'm in the Scotland job and bringing Faddy in as well, I think it's a great idea. McLeish is just a fantastic manager, mate, honestly. He's always got this thing of getting fired in the belly. Always says it, fire in the belly. If you've no got heart, you shouldn't be in the game. And tactically, I think he's got better as well as he's went on. He's matured and tactically he's got better.
Even guys like Swazi and Latipi, did they love McLeish as well?
Aye, everybody loved him. And to be fair, he done a great job, and then he obviously went off in bad terms to Rangers.
Were you devastated when he left?
I was devastated when he left, but a week later he tried to sign me for £1.5 million.
And did you want to go?
Well, I didn't think I was ready to go, to be fair, and it was never going to happen because Rod and Alex left on bad terms, so Rod wasn't going to accept anything like that.
So what was your feelings when Frank Sousa got the job?
I was absolutely buzzing for Frank, to be fair, because he was a club captain. He had helped me, through hard times, with injuries. Mm-hmm. Craig Brewster, Mixu, Latapi. Frank, actually, you see, when I got injured in on my debut for Hibs, Frank was the first one to come in and say, "Don't worry about it." He says, "You'll come back stronger." Put his hand around me, so did Russell. I was glad Frank got the job, but I was a bit disappointed in the way it happened and we left. It wasn't a nice way, but they done to him because he's a Hibs legend, club legend.
What kind of manager was he? He wouldn't have been a baller and shouter, was he?
No, he was very calm, very relaxed,
totally different to Alex McLeish.
Totally different. He wanted to play, but he never got the time, mate. It was he inherited a team, right? And Hibs were in problems financially, so he inherited a team, and he never had the chance to bring his own players in. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for a club captain to go to a manager. You get what I mean? Because he's surrounded with the players, what he's been playing with. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? For me, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Get what I mean?
So he should have been definitely given more time at her.
He should have been given more time. That's my opinion. I'm no fucking Rod Petrie or whatever. He makes the decisions, but I think the way that Frank left, it was in my opinion, it was bad part of like.
You think if he got longer, he'd have been successful at Hibs?
I think he would have. Aye, the fans absolutely adored him, and just to bring his style of play as well, because he wanted to play for the back. He's French. He wanted to play through the lines. McLeish was a bit different. McLeish was more kind of aggressive in his play. He's got better tactically now, but he would like to hit the strikers fast, where Frank would like to play out for the back. And
would that suit you, though, Frank's style of play, playing out for the back, or did you prefer it to get banged up to you quick?
I prefer, because back then I was quite sharp, so I prefer it to get played over behind, where somebody like Frank, or somebody, obviously he was a manager at the time, but somebody like that to Boozy to play that ball, he could hit me for a fucking 60-yarder as well. So just to play me over the top and I'm straight in. If you go on to YouTube, you'll see half the goals, eh?
Oh, I know about the goals, mate. Don't worry about that. I've heard it on the B licence for a full week, mate. That's how you talk to it. But, mate, you started to get in your stride when Bobby Williamson came in, getting amongst the goals. Right. How good was Big Bobby for you?
Bobby was brilliant, to be fair. Bobby was, all Bobby done is eat toast, man. You went in Easter Road, man, and all you could smell was toast before training.
How many bits?
Fucking, I think a loaf.
he must have liked you, mate.
Aye, Bobby was, I didn't think Bobby achieved as much as what he should have, to be fair. And he really liked me as a player. And I think he got the best at me as well, And that kind of generation, that we call it the golden generation of the Hibs players coming through, I think Bobby had a lot to do with that as well, because it was a transition period, you know what I mean? And I think Bobby he never got enough time as well, because obviously Mowbray came in after that as well, didn't he?
See, when Bobby first came in, would he pull you in and say, "You're going to be my main man," or was it just get on and play?
Yeah, that's what Tony said.
Tony did? So Bobby just came in and... Everything was...
Right. Bobby was more kind of... How can I say it? Bobby was more like kind of relaxed. He never really had a style with football. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. Tactically.
Almost like Kevin Thompson said that as well.
Tactically, he would shape a team, but he wouldn't really... You can go into brief details. He would go into corners, set pieces, stuff like that. But nearly that's it. You get what I mean?
See, that group that came through... But they're lucky as well that it was a transitional period for Hibs, because maybe if it was Hibs had more money, the youth boys wouldn't have came through.
Well, that's what I mean. Hibs, before that, Hibs were paying massive money to to the Sozies, to the Yogis, to the Zatellis, Latapes, you came, what I mean? And it happened at the right time because they all had to go and the next generation had to come through. So they couldn't buy players. So the only thing was youth to come through.
Did you not feel pressure taking over for the big names?
That's one thing we never felt. One thing we never felt as a team. You can, we honestly felt if we went to Celtic Park or Ibrox, we could beat them. And we did. Mm-hmm. We done it.
And who was it that gave you that confidence? Was it Bobby that would give you that confidence, or was it just among yourselves?
Well, it was Bobby who gave us that confidence, but we're going to, we'll skip a wee bit to Mowbray. When Mowbray came in, that's when it really changed. You know, because fucking tactician, unbelievable.
What, you blow your mind ahead.
Oh, what a manager. Came in, first thing he said is I'm going to work with this group of players and going to make them like really. And you see, to be fair, he would be at training, right? And he would have training set up for all the boys. None of the youth laddies were doing that. You get what I mean? He would have it set up half an hour. We would walk in and he would train you for like 2 hours, hour and a half max. And he would stay behind and he would do work with you. You get what I mean? With the strikers. And then the next game week, he would do work with midfielders. Next game week, he would do defenders. And then he would group it together. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was very thorough in everything he'd done. And when he first came in, he said to me, Scott Brown, Deeks, look, you've got to be the main man. Because wee Scotty was a striker. Mm-hmm.
When, was he? Scotty Brown was a striker,
he was
he?
Was a striker when
Mowbray
came in.
I remember that in youth teams and that.
Mowbray put him back into midfield.
He's a lot to thank Big Mogga for now, isn't he?
Yeah,
can't imagine Scotty running about in front.
Fucking
hell. Was there anything he told you to do different to your game? Did he want you to change your game because of the style of his play?
Well, Tony wanted to build for the back, a bit like Frank, and we were young, confident boys, you get what I mean? So he just says to me, look, he says, you're going to be the vocal part of the team. He says, I came where Deke plays anyway. Deke always plays off on the pitch, he'll play to my right-hand side, so I have to just flick the ball around to him because I've got that link-up play. Mm-hmm. And he says, you're going to be the vocal point of the team. He says, look, we'll start games off, he says, at high intensity, 10 minutes, and we'll get in folks' faces. And that 10 minutes was enough because we were young. Every player was young. You get what I mean? And you had Boozy. And Boozy would...
Boozeland, great player, wasn't he?
Aye. And Boozy was fantastic. You can, because his knees obviously finished early. Yeah. But doing well at Hamilton. But Boozy, what Tony said was, start off 10, 15 minutes, high intensity, get in every team's faces. And then we would, Boozy would try and hit me over the top. You know what I mean? It would always work. Mm-hmm. You can't, and I would be right in because I was fast and strong then. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So it was great football you were playing, but not just that. There seemed to be a real great team spirit in that,
it was a great
that
bond.
Team. Was the dressing room brilliant?
It was a great bond. It was
how did you speak to Boozy? That must have been some conversation. Frenchman and a guy from Berwick.
Fucking Boozy, man.
But would they get the patter of you and Bruni and Tomo and Deeks and that? Would they get your patter?
Boozy, aye. Boozy was like kind of, when he first came in, he was quite quiet, right? I'll tell you a wee story, right? We went up to Aberdeen and you get the Lucozade bottles and the Powerade bottles, right? Fucking Boozy's following him up with vodka after the game, right? Following him up with vodka and drinking that. The time we got off the bus, he's fucking
flying.
He's pissed. He's absolutely reeking. He's absolutely brilliant, honestly. But what a player. What a player, honestly.
How good was the team spirit between the young Scottish boys? Was it just, were you playing wind-ups on each other all the time?
It was mayhem, honestly. Absolute mayhem. It was just fucking people like with your tracky bottoms, your training gear, they're cutting holes in your socks, they're fucking cutting holes in your pocket, so when you go to your pocket, your pound coins are falling out of your pocket and all that.
Who'd be the main one, Bruni?
Bruni was up there, Deeks was up there. Who else was there? I was fucking, I mean,
nah, you'd have been at the hard time, innit?
Aye.
But what I wanted to ask you about Bruni, say for that group, did you think that Bruni would be the one that would go on and have the most successful, we'll say, career?
To be fair, right, and it's probably been documented as well. I thought Tomo would have went on and had the better career, but injuries killed him, you get what I mean? Mm. Technically, Tomo was better, but if you look what Bruni's achieved, it's unbelievable. You know, and I take my hat off to him. He's done absolutely fantastic. He's had a great career. And he wasn't a very gifted player.
He wasn't the most gifted.
But Moga done brilliant putting him back into midfield because he had legs. You know what I mean? You remember that game at Ibrox?
He was running away from people, wasn't it?
Okay, Rickson and Rovinklans. And Rovinklans wasn't there, slouch. You know what I mean? I got took off and I said to Mowbray, I says, what are you taking me off for, Gaffer? I heard a wee pop at him. I says, what are you taking me off? I've landed him into the ground. He says to me, he says, guys, we need legs. He says, you've done your job. We need legs up front. Fucking Ivan's fast as anything, isn't he? So basically, I've took the hump, Sae.
As you do, mate.
As you do. And Ivan's went on and scored the hat trick in 20 minutes or something like that. So I've had to go up to Mowbray and I've said to him, I've said, Gaffer, sorry to be fair. You know what I mean? You're bang on with your tactics. I just had to bite it. Suka up.
Would quite a lot of you answer him back? Could you have a debate with him or was he the boss?
No, you could answer him back and I think he liked that. I think he liked feedback, Mogs. There was the one at Celtic Park when he hooked Deke off at half time. And Deke and Moga were going at it. You know what I mean? They were like going at each other and Deke started running and said, "Come what? I'm leaving. Get me out of here. I want a transfer." So he's whipping me off at half time. I think we beat Celtic 3-2 in that game. I scored, Scotty scored, and Ivan scored. And he got whipped off at half time for Ivan, I think. So that's what I mean. That's what Mowbray brung. He says, when you go to these places, Parkhead, Ibrox, have no fear. And we never had any fear, and that's why we always bet them. Mm-hmm. We struggled a wee bit more at home against them, but you see, away from home, see if you get in, you can yourself, Si. See if you get in at Ibrox, or you get in 1-0 up, or at Celtic Park, 1-0 up, or 0-0, you can, you've got a chance of going winning, eh?
Mm-hmm. See how you say that? You always beat Hibs, Hibs always beat Celtic and Rangers, that team. Why do you think that team didn't go on and challenge for the league?
You can why? Because basically they weren't able to pay us, eh? They were in that transition period where they had splashed out so much money for all the previous players and they were trying to balance the books. So I was on 750 quid, you came up mean? There was bang goals in left, right and centre. And the rest of the boys wouldn't even be on that. Mm-hmm. You came up mean? And we're challenging for the league. You see, if that team stayed together for one more season, I'm guaranteed we would have won that league.
You think so, huh?
I think we would have won that league.
That good a group,
aye.
And Momoga obviously as well. Yeah,
Momoga as well, aye.
One thing I need to ask you about is, mate, is that Daft Barnett's used to, the guy that done that, did he eventually get to jail or what?
I don't know. He should have.
Whose idea was that? The Barnett.
Nah, what it was? It was like Tony and Guy, right? Tony and Guy.
You were going to say Tony Mowbray.
Tony and Guy's the hairdressers. Yeah. They sponsored Hibs, and like they gave us a wee like card. Like Cruz as well gave us a wee card, and it was like a discount card. Mm-hmm. So on a Friday, all the boys would go up and get like a haircut. You know what I mean? I would fucking deeks with that fucking mohawk. What the hell was that all about?
Brilliant, eh? I used to love seeing you play with
that. That was quality. But
see, another thing about that group, mate, did you all go together after a game on a Saturday?
To be fair, we never in that. We never. You came what? Because Mowbray was quite strict on that.
Was he?
He was quite strict, and sometimes he would pull us in on a Sunday just for a cool down.
Right. Do you think he was doing that so you wouldn't go to him?
Aye, because we were young.
Uh-huh. So who'd have been your best pal? So was it you and Deeks all the time?
Me, Deeks, Bruni, Tomo, Whitaker, we were all pals.
Just up the tune after training, shopping, some and eight?
Aye. We have a great group.
You think you'll ever get a team that has the five guys coming through again?
I think it was more than five, because you're looking at like Caldwell, you're looking at Ian Murray, Fletcher. You're looking at Fletcher, you're looking at David Murphy, Whitaker, you're looking at, you know what I mean? Just our men's team and all young.
Must have been a great time of being a young boy playing with Hibs with all your mates, eh?
Yeah, especially being a fucking Hibs fan, eh? Mm. You know what I mean? It was just fantastic. The dream for me was to play for Hibs and, you know, to do well. And to what I achieved at Hibs was beyond belief for me, to be fair. And it makes me nearly proud to do that. Mm. To play for your country, you can, it's the proudest thing.
You said that you and Deeks obviously, and you played coming through, but did you always have that great understanding with each other on the pitch? What is it about his game that suits yours so well?
Well, you go the big and the small, eh? Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? I used to, Deeks wouldn't move, eh?
I used to. Oh, I know that, mate. I played him a year in the reserves. I know he doesn't.
I used to date absolute doggies, man.
I don't ever believe that either, did you?
Right. I used to date absolute doggies, right? And I would always stay central, right? And Deeks would always be on my right hand side. So I kent that. We'd done that for boys' club all the way up. So Kent, he was always got to be on that side. So but when I take my touch, I ken I'm just. There was a goal against Arts he scored when he's absolutely.
Smoked it,
as he says, smoked it, right? Gordon was like that. And that was me who just flicked it around the corner to him. And I just knew he would always be there, standing in that position. And he was quite wise about it as well. We had that understanding because we had played with each other all the way up through the youth, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And who was a better finisher?
Me, obviously.
Deeks. He was a great finisher, wasn't he?
Deeks left and right. Technically, ability, he was fantastic. He was a better finisher.
Was he, eh? Big statement. That. See, that group as well, you were saying you weren't getting paid what you should have been paid. Would you talk amongst yourselves saying, listen, we need to get out of here?
No, one thing we never discussed. It's actually, the club should have came to us and offered us more money. You get what I mean? Because we weren't driven by money at that time as kids, as footballers. You get what I mean? You didn't care anything about that. Mm-hmm. You just want to go out there and play, and you're playing for your local club, and Hibs is a business, isn't it? And they've done well. You came with the infrastructure and the training ground and things like that, and that's all came from my generation. You get what I mean? And mm-hmm. I gave Hibs part of my. Part of my 15% or 30% for my move to Lokomotiv, which built their training ground.
But you gave them some of your signing on fee to build the training ground.
Aye. Well, it wasn't my signing on fee. Basically, in my contract, I had a 15%. So if I got sold for what I did get sold for about 2 million, like I had 15%. I think it was 15% or 30%. Now that comes to me. I just let Hibs keep that to go into youth, but I had to go into youth development, so that went into East Mains.
We're not going to try and work out what 20% is, because I think we'll be here for about five years, won't we?
Me, you, aye.
We had a couple of Rangers boys on, mate, talking about Helicopter Sunday. No. Do you remember it? I think yous were qualified for Europe on goal difference, and they said that yous just sat off and let them play it. Was that the case?
Aye.
Were yous told to do that, huh?
We weren't told to do that, but we were wise enough to do that.
Because
it was at Aberdeen, it was like a 7-goal turnaround what had to happen or something like that. Which it's massive for Hibs to get into Europe financially as well at that stage. You get what I mean? And basically, we finished third that season. Rightly so, I think, as well. Aberdeen were a good team at that time as well. But we did sit off them, to be fair. Mm-hmm.
And back down to Mowbray, one last thing. See how you talk back to money again. Would he come and say to you, you should be getting more money? Surely a manager would say to the boys there, we should be paying you more money.
Mowbray was always fighting our corner, to be fair. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? But you didn't care what goes on at board level. You get what I mean with Rod Peatley?
Behind the scenes.
Because Rod Peatley is a shrewd, shrewd businessman. You would sit in and you would speak about contracts, by the way. He would take his watch off, his Rolex watch off, he'd put it on the table. He would just sit and look at it. And just want a response for you. You get what I mean? And you were that desperate to get out of there, you would just sign a contract.
Really, yeah.
Aye, it was that bad, honestly.
Right, mate, on to the sad bit. Leaving Hibs. Other than when you actually did leave, you mentioned Rangers. Was there any other offers during that time that you could have went?
Aye, well, if I'd stayed, I think there would have been an offer maybe for Celtic, definitely an offer for Rangers, and there was offers for down south as well. But at that time, Hibs needed the money. So it was basically Lokomotiv wanted me and Deeks as a package. Deeks didn't want to go. And I had discussions with my family. I had discussions. To be fair, Mowbray says to me, he says, it's life-changing money. He says, I'm not putting any pressure on you going because you're my best player. He says, I'd love you to stay. He says, but go home, take 2 days off, speak with your family, see... see what you want to do and come back. He says, we're putting no pressure on you at all. But I thought about the big picture, and Hibs kind of were in problems financially at that stage, I think, if I'm right. And I just, grown up as a Hibs fan, I think it was, I think it basically, I wanted to date for them. You can move on and get them kind of money.
How mad is it when you're on, say, 750 quid a week and you get that contract and you see the figures? What kind of feeling is it?
It's mental, to be fair, because you see when you go over to Russia, right, and you're like, basically, you go into Russia, right, and you get picked up for the airport and you get took around to hotels and apartments and things like that. And then after us, so they've not got like a wage structure, right? Yeah. So basically, like in Scotland, you get paid at like the 26th end of the month, you know what I mean? Yeah. Lisa's on the phone to me, my wife, she's on the phone to me and she's saying, look, there's 20,000 gone into the account. That's one day. The next day, there's like 30,000 gone into the account. Then the next day, this was going on for like a week, like 10 grand, 5 grand, 30 grand, 40 grand. And that was their structure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because they're owned by Russian Railways and the president signs off and it just, you know, it just, and it was going into a Russian account and then getting transferred back over, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's like, it's crazy. And the bonuses as well, the bonuses were just, they were mental, you know what I mean? And obviously winning the cup as well, it made me a hero with the fans. And
I'm going to come to that, mate, didn't I go too quick, all right? Just to go back to how did the interest come about for Moscow? Was it just your agent that came to you and said?
No, I think they were looking for basically the talent round about Scotland and England. And at that team, they were looking for young players. And obviously, they've obviously picked up on how well Hibs were doing. And they were looking for strikers, so the package was for me and Deeks. I think it was like 2.5 million for the 2 years. And it was 20 grand a week what I got over there. It's tax free, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think they came over and their president came over with their chief executive and they watched us against Falkirk in the Scottish Cup. And we pumped on 5-1. I had an absolute blinder. You know what I mean? And you can, it was just one of them. They just put the offer in right away.
Uh-huh. And you scored your first goal in a Moscow derby. So a hero straight away.
Scored that.
What was the experience like at that derby?
Well, that was again. You can, to be fair, I've scored. When I was in Moscow, you see, like the lower teams, struggled to score against them, but you see all the big teams, the CSKs, the Spartaks, the Zenits, I scored against them all. And he scored my first goal in my first appearance. I've done that during my career though, Si. I've always scored when I've went to a team, I've always scored in my first debut, eh? Mm-hmm. You can, so it's a lot of strikers do that, eh?
Mm-hmm. Does that help you set a win straight away when you do that?
Aye, and it helps you set a win with the players as well. Mm-hmm. You get that respect for them. Mm-hmm. I have to mention as well the guy Loskov and Sitchoff, Billy Dinoff, who's at Everton.
Mm-hmm. But heavy Billy,
they were fantastic players, by the way.
Was the standard good, was it?
Aye, standard was much better than the SPL.
Was it better than that Hibs team? Much better.
Aye, it was a step up, and you came what? They were machines, mate. They were like, you see the fitness. What would happen? You would stay in the training camp, right? You would stay for a period of 4 days, but you would go out and train in the morning, right? And it'd be a running session, right? And then you would come back in, and then you would go and you would like have a sleep, have a wee bit lunch, and then you would go back out. You would do your technical stuff. Mm-hmm. You would come back in, have something to eat. Then you would go in the ice baths, get massages. You would go in an oxygen chamber. You would get your blood taken out. You would get your blood taken out, and before the game, you get put back in.
So they would take your blood out.
Take your blood out, clean it, put it back in. Go into the oxygen chamber. Just that's the way they work, mate.
To blow your mind out, eh?
Aye, because you felt like $1 million. You know what I mean? You see when you were playing, you felt like you could play 290 minutes.
Did you, huh?
Aye, well.
You obviously couldn't speak the language. Did you have a translator with you?
I had a translator, aye.
Did they need a translator for the translator?
Aye.
You're Scottish.
You came what? You came what, mate? You see the meetings, right? Uh-huh. The manager was Serbian, right? But we had Portuguese players, we had like Serbian players, Croatian players, We had Brazilian players, Spanish players, so there was like eight interpreters. And the Serbian coach couldn't speak Russian. He's speaking Serbian, so there's an interpreter speaking Russian, you know, the Russian players, and the meetings would take about 2 hours. You're just sitting there like that. sleeping. Just let us go out and play.
How was the manager? Were you all right?
Brilliant. Loved me.
Hey, what was his name?
What's his name again? I don't know.
Serbian guy.
So
just call him Serbian, huh? Aye. He was good with you, thought, huh?
Really good, and then eventually we were in the UEFA Cup. I think we went to the semi in the UEFA Cup, and I think Zenit won it that year, eh? Seville won it that year. And after we got put out of that, he got sacked. And they brought a manager in from a Russian manager, but he was like at a team, what were like third bottom of the league, which I just found so strange. And he came in and he just wanted to play the Russian players, eh?
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Aye, so
get rid of all the translators.
So I just kind of lost my head a wee bit. With that situation, and he wouldn't speak to you, couldn't he speak English? Wouldn't he speak to you? You get what I mean?
None worse. Well, outside of football, how was the lifestyle? Do you enjoy living there?
I loved Moscow. The wife got a bit homesick, so she would come over for a month at a time, and then go back home and then come over at a month at a time again. But there would always be a family member there with me, because it was quite tough. But it was, when you're in the training camp and you're there for like 4 days or something, and Russia's massive, you see when you're 12-hour flights to Vladivostok and places like that, and you're having to sleep on the plane, and then go out and play and then get back on the plane and travel back again. But the lifestyle was fantastic. I had an apartment next to Red Square, very expensive, which I had to pay out of my own pocket, but it was... The club nearly looked after me. Lokomotiv nearly looked after me.
Could you get a laugh with the boys in the dressing room, or was it hard?
No, it was good. We had Kingston, who was at Hearts.
Was it Larry Kingston?
Aye, aye. We had Big BK as well.
Right. Big centre-half BK, Andrew BK.
Aye. And one of my close pals was Ivanovic at Chelsea.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I used to go out with him and Spackage.
So we'd just go out at night together, innit?
We'd go out and have dinner at night, aye.
Aidan was saying that the nightlife's unbelievable, eh?
Nightlife's frightening over there, mate.
Is it?
No, to be fair, si, I never went out in Russia, eh?
No?
It's not that I didn't feel safe, but I just, I nearly wanted to focus on doing well and try to get a move back to Scotland because the missus was unhappy, you know what I mean?
He told a great story off camera about Andy Watson coming over to watch you.
Oh, that was brilliant, right? Andy Watson came over, obviously, because he was assistant manager at Scotland, but obviously he was coming over to watch me to see how I was doing, because there's no much coverage of the Russian game in Scotland. So basically I took him out for dinner at a posh restaurant, and I think we had a bottle of wine, so we had half of it each, and we're on the way home, we've been pulled by the police, and Winkers got out. He says, guys, I'm the assistant manager of Scotland. What's got to happen? We've got to get locked up. I mean, Winker, just calm down. Calm down, it's Russia we're in, mate. Yeah, and eventually we've got the car. The guy says, you've got your documents. I've gave him my documents, Si. He's, I've got Lokomotiv, like Kings, in the boot of my car, right? Mm-hmm. You can, like, big banners and posters and that. Two police were Lokomotiv fans, eh? All they wanted was an autograph, right? So I've gave them my documents. I've put $200 in my documents. $200. Winker's still pacing the car, right? No kidding what's going on. Aye. And they were saying to me, can you sign the things in the back of your car? I went, aye, no problem. I went, Winker, that's us sorted. He went, what do you mean? I said, get in the car, that's us. We can go.
Away you go.
Aye.
Is that the maddest story in Russia, or is there anything?
Aye, that's really it in Russia, to be fair.
But again, you scored the winner in the Russian Cup final. That must have been some night.
That was some night. That was amazing because my mum, my gran and granddad, who have passed away, they were over there and they seen me do that, you know. So that was fantastic. They got to hold the cup. I had wee Josh on the pitch with me. which was brilliant. And my gran and granddad were so proud of them, a massive part of my life. Eh? Mm-hmm. And it was just great that they were over and seen me scoring the winner and lifting the cup, you know what I mean?
Brilliant, mate. You said your wife was homesick there, so were you always desperate to get back to Britain? Huh?
Well, what happened, we had Josh over there, and she, as I said, she was coming back, she was staying for a month, coming back for a month, and then my mum would come over, or my granddad would come over, my gran, and then she was homesick, but she fell pregnant with Millie as well, so it was a no-brainer, to be fair. I had to get away there. But there was offers to go on loan. Moga had went to West Brom. He was dying to get me there. Steve Bruce at Burnenhunt, that's the one that eventually did happen. But Arsenal showed an interest as well.
Really, yeah?
Arsenal.
Who was the man? Was it Wenger?
Wenger.
Really, yeah?
Arsenal showed an interest in me as well, but they were only willing to pay 1.2 million. But I'll tell you the story as well. Every season you get 300 grand, right? So that's your image rights, 300 grand. You get that every season, and I had a 5-year contract at Locomotive, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I left Locomotive to go to Birmingham City for, I think it was 2.6 million. But they were due me 600 grand, what I had to give back to them as well. So it would build, you can the transfer fee up.
Fee up, uh-huh.
Aye, and that's the only way it was going to happen. Because the Kent, I was desperate to get out of there.
Right.
Ken, what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you a story as well, but you'll like. I've got that many for you, Si.
Come on, mate, let's go.
Right, my wee interpreter guy, right? Uh-huh. Wee Alex, his name was, right? And I had a driver who used to drive me about as well, Vava. But as soon as the deal was going through, right? I've got in the car, and Alex has got in the car with me as well, and we've drove to the airport, and I've only just bought a car recently, right? It was a Range Rover, a white one, right? Fucking $70,000 it cost me, right? And everything for what Alex done for me, right? I've went to the airport, right? And the deal wasn't completed yet. The president's on the phone. He's saying, "Where are you?" I says, "I'm at the airport." He says, "The deal's not completed yet." He says, "You'll need to come back to the stadium." I says, "No danger." I says, "I'm at the airport and I'm going back, I'm going home." Uh-huh. So I says to Alex, "Yeah, everything you've done for me, there's the keys, you can keep the car, pal."
No way.
Yeah.
Is he buzzing?
He's buzzing, mate, aye.
You had the Ferrari in the garage anyway, mate, didn't you?
I had a few cars in the garage, right?
Somebody told me you used to pull up to Scotland squads late and rev the Ferrari.
That was Fergie who done that.
Was it Fergie?
That was Fergie, was Fergie winding me up, saying, "Guys, get in the car and let me see what it does."
That's when Barry Ferguson.
Aye, but that's when I was stupid. That was just fucking, I'm not like that now, mate.
No, I know you're not, mate. As soon as you heard the Birmingham's interest and it was concrete, did you go and meet Steve Bruce and stuff like that?
Well, what happened, Steve Bruce was in France at the time, so I actually came home to Scotland, and then I've went and met Eric Black at St Andrews, and Rudy Vatter was my agent at the time, and we've had some lunch, some dinner, booked us into a hotel. We've went away, and Eric was in constant contact with Steve about figures, you can contract figures, etc. This is when the bid had been accepted for Locomotive, you can, everything had been sorted, so I had permission to go and negotiate basically personal terms. So I've went, negotiated personal terms, Eric's on the phone, Steve, you know, the Vata's in my ear. Here, we've got other options, by the way. We've got fucking, we've got Fulham, we've got Arsenal, we've got West Brom. He says, "We need to hold off here." I says, "Well, go and tell them that what we're wanting." You know what I mean? I'm not what to put on camera, say what I got down there, because it's quite, it's bigger than what papers are making out with, anyway.
Okay.
But I've got a very hefty package down there. So the deal got sorted out, basically. Brucey was in, I think he was in France, Monaco or something like that, and I had to go to St Andrews with Eric Black, meet Karen Brady. They told Lisa and Vata to go out, you can't go to the room.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted me to come in and to go over all the paperwork with Eric and Karen.
Uh-huh.
And then I went all over that, because we'll go into something else what happened as well. And basically, I was happy with the personal terms. I didn't think Vata was happy with the personal terms, to be fair. you know, so basically they invited Vata, the missus and that back in, I signed the contract, and that was it done, mate.
And how was Steve Bruce the first time you met him?
Steve Bruce is quality, brilliant. Even, you see, if you win a game, he gives you 3 or 4 days off, eh? He goes away to Dubai or whatever, you know what I mean? Class, absolute class. We used to play England v Scotland, eh, on a Friday, and he would play, eh?
Would he?
And you see what? You see, if he didn't win, mate, he would be gone through folk, eh?
Would he, eh?
Aye.
Still a good player?
Still could play, mate. Aye, he had a big belly in that, but he could play, like, still play. It was just having players, and we've got a game the next game, eh?
But, what was it, something else you were going to tell us?
Aye, well, basically, this is all going to be coming out in my book, so I don't know if I really want to go into it in detail.
Give us a teaser, a wee teaser.
I'll give you a wee teaser, right? Basically, there was a French agent what we're working for Birmingham, so that's why Vata had to go to the room, right? And obviously, you can football's corrupt, eh? Everybody kens that, you can. So basically, the French agent was working for Birmingham. I don't know, you know, it's like Vata's working for me. They had to come to some negotiation, my image rights, but they were going to get payments. You can what I mean? Agents are greedy. So there's your teaser, mate.
Right. So if you read the book, you'll find out the story. You'll find the full story. But just on the Premier League, how did you find it?
Well, Premier League, there you go, eh? First appearance, came off the bench. Bang, great Craig Gordon in goal for Sunderland. Boom, goal.
You've got big Craig on toast, didn't you?
Had him on post, mate. Had him on post.
How was the standard of training at Birmingham? There were some good players there at that time, eh?
Oh, man, unbelievable. You came what? Lee Bowyer, Carsley. Wee Card, the right back. Who else we have? Big Cammy Jerome up front.
He's a monster, isn't he?
Oh, he was so fast.
Could you cope with these boys in training, isn't it?
Aye, mate. I was a machine too, because I just came back from Russia. Uh-huh. But he came up kind of hindered me a wee bit, because I went for Hibs, right, to Russia, and I never had a break, eh? And then the same again, when I went for Russia to Birmingham, I never had any breaks whatsoever. You kind of, you have like your off season.
Season,
I never had any breaks straight into it, and eventually it burnt me out, because it goes in, the media go into it, and McLeish says to me, that's what he says. He says, you need to go home, guys, and back up to Scotland and take some time out. He says, because you're completely burnt out. He says, I can see it. And I came back next again season, mate, and I was absolute flying. I was training with Dougie Fowler up at Arthur's Seat. And up at the Pleasant Strimley University, and I was beasting myself, mate. And I came back down and we went away to Austria on tour, and McLeish and Winker and Peter Grant were saying, by the way, what are you doing? You have to calm down. You're ripping these boys to shreds. We're doing like the bleep test and you can like the coughing stuff and all that. He says, you need to calm down, you're ripping these boys to shreds. I says, I'm not even sweating. It's just the work I put in, you can, just before I went back, and it done me great, because I took the rest, I went away on holiday, and then I done 3 weeks, worked with Dougie Fowler, and I came back absolutely flying, and ripped, you can, Was it
not you that told McLeish to go to Birmingham?
It was me who told McLeish to go to Birmingham. He was the manager at Scotland at the time, and obviously I was at Birmingham then, and him and Andy asked me the question, saying, what's it like, what's the setup like, what's Karen like, what's the team like? McLeish had done his job at Scotland, he had done fantastic, and it was a perfect time for him to move, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think I had a wee bit of sway in getting McLeish to take the job.
And were you delighted when he got the job?
I was delighted, mate, aye, because he gave me my opportunity, didn't he? And McLeish always loved me as a player. Everywhere McLeish went, he tried to sign me. Mm-hmm. And Mowbray, the two of them, they always tried to sign me.
What was the Premier League like? Obviously, defenders, who was the best you played against?
The best I played against was Vidic.
Vidic
was, honestly, he just... He could read anywhere you were going to go. See, if you were going to hold the ball up, he'd be tight to you, right? Or he'd be in your back, the knee would be in your back. Mm-hmm. Or you see if you were going to turn to the right, or you were going to try and lay it off,
be one step ahead of you, he'd be in and he'd get the ball and he would play away, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But also, is it Scuttle
at Liverpool?
He was a dirty, honestly.
Was he?
He was just, you're kidding yourself, he was just dirty as man. Mm. He played for Zenit when I was over in Russia, eh? And he's fucking...
Do you remember?
Aye, he broke a bone in my back, eh?
Yeah.
Aye, but my knee in the back. Mm-hmm. So I left one on him when we played against Liverpool, to be fair.
So is the Premier League as good as everyone makes it? Is the standard as good as everyone thinks?
The standard's just different. It's just, you see the pace. See, if you're no fit and you're no sharp, mm-hmm. The pace of the game is just unreal. Especially because if you're like, basically Birmingham's a championship to a like Premier League lower bottom team, you get what I mean? So if you're knowing you're 100% game, you're struggling. Mm-hmm. But McLeish was brilliant that way because tactically he would get things right, you get what I mean? And he would always play me against the big teams. Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, I scored against Arsenal at the Emirates. Did we beat them? No, we drew 1-1, I think. So he would always play me in the big games. Played at Manchester United, wanted me to just play in the hole, which worked perfectly. I think we got beat 1-0. I think Nani or Ronaldo scored one of the two. But I got Ronaldo's shirt and he signed it for me.
Did he? Aye, the big guys.
Aye, he was brilliant.
Brilliant, eh?
Aye, brilliant. So I've still got that in the house.
Excellent.
Aye, but it was a great experience.
How good was Barry Ferguson at Birmingham?
Fergie was brilliant. You see, in training, Fergie wanted to win everything. Fergie, you see, if he didn't, you see, if you small sided game, see, if he didn't win, he'd go mental. He would lose the plot.
Would he get on your back as well?
He'd get on everybody's back. He just had that winning mentality, mm-hmm. Fergie, and games as well. And you came what? To be fair, you see, people didn't understand how fit Fergie was. Mm-hmm. You came what I mean? He could get up and down the park and he dictating the game, even in the Premier League, he would dictate games for a Birmingham team as well. We would dictate games, which is fucking very unusual when you're playing against Chelsea players and things like that. You know what I mean?
He's running the show. Huh? So how would you look back on the rest of your time at Birmingham? Was it a few injuries that stopped you from reaching your full potential?
No, injuries killed me. I had hip surgery, both sides, snapped all my adductors, left and right side. So basically, after that, my body was gone, eh? Mm-hmm. And it was odd off-field issues as well, to be fair, which the club looked after. Club done a great job looking after me in that aspect. But
is that Alex as well that looked after you, huh?
Right, Alex pulled me in the office and said, look, he says, I'll back you the whole way. And again, he was fantastic that way as well. Got so much respect for him, to be fair.
Brilliant. How'd you spell at Barnsley before going back to Hibs? Right. Was that the move you wanted? Was that the move you needed at that time?
Well, to be fair, I had a successful loan spell there because I needed game times because I wasn't getting it. And I think I scored against Leeds. We beat them 4-2, I think. And that just put me like, you see the atmosphere in the stadium at that stage because it's the derby.
Derby, eh?
And it was, honestly, it was just, the atmosphere was buzzing, and that's what kind of swayed me because I had other offers at that stage. Mm-hmm. Birmingham wanted me to stay, but I felt that I needed to go out and play game times, and I wouldn't get the game time there. So basically, I spoke to McLeish and says, "Look, so if I can," he says he didn't want to lose me, mm-hmm. but you know, I wanted to go and play games. All footballers wanted to go and play games, eh? So I signed there for a short period. I think it was 6 months, and to be fair, after your hips and your groins and your adductors and all that go, just didn't feel myself.
No, it's hard, mate. But were you delighted when you heard the Hibs interest?
Well, to be fair, I went into Celtic and trained for 2 weeks, eh?
Did you, huh?
Yeah, Marty Riley became my agent then. I went and trained with Celtic for 2 weeks just to keep sharp. And I think there could have been something on the table.
Who was the manager then?
Lennon.
Oh, Lenny, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Lenny was the manager then. So there was kind of something in the pipeline then, but I always wanted to go back to Hibs, eh? You get what I mean? I got a phone call for Rod Petrie and I went and met him at his house in Longniddry. And to be fair, right, You see that season I went in, I think it was 2010 or 12, did I go back to Hibs?
11 and 12, I heard, 2011
and 12. Aye. I played for basically nothing, mate. Eh?
Did you? Huh?
Aye, just because I wanted to go and play football. Eh? I'd missed out on so much football at Birmingham, at Barnsley. Just felt it was the right time to come back home and come back to the club that I loved and just play and enjoy my football and enjoy family life, you know what I mean?
How good was that feeling running out Easter Road again?
Again, and plus it was a new stadium as well. I hadn't played there, eh?
Brilliant.
You know what I mean? And first game was Celtic. I thought we had a chance and we got beat and then we went up to Inverness and I got my first goal last minute.
So it was Colin Calderwood that brought you in?
Brought me in and made me captain. Well, Ian Murray was captain, I was vice-captain, but Ian had problems with injuries, so I got made captain.
That must have been proud for you, mate, you and your family, captain in Hibs.
Captain of Hibs, mate, I was really proud, and I was sad to see Colin go, because me and Colin had built a really good friendship, and, you know, he was a very good coach as well. And to be fair on him, he never had the funds there to build a team as well. Typical story with Hibs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 10 goals you scored early in the 2011-12 season. Was there thoughts of leaving again?
There was a few offers put in, I think.
Because you were, as you said, you were basically playing for nothing, eh?
Right, there was a few offers put in. I wasn't driven by money at that stage, but there was a few offers put in, I think, for the blue side. And there was a few offers for down south as well, but I just wanted to carry on playing, scoring goals, you know what I mean? That's the best feeling in the world.
How mad was it being on a different side? So you were the young, cheeky guy at your first time round, and then you were the older captain. Were you then hard on the younger boys coming through?
No, I was merely relaxed, si. As age is went on, you know what I mean? I've matured, and I think I've kind of, where I'm at in my life now, I've learnt from my mistakes, you know what I mean? And I think that's when I kind of started maturing, but obviously I still made a few bad mistakes further on. But we'll go into the Tom King later on. But to be made captain of Hibs, it was just the proudest moments, eh?
And did you help all the younger boys coming through? Was Griffiths there at that time?
I helped Sparky massively. I stayed behind with Sparky, done a lot of shooting with him because his shooting was all over the place, to be fair.
Was it?
It was, honestly.
Really? You would never think
see,
that, now,
eh? You see, striking a ball cleanly, he could strike it like mad, but he just never had the whip or the composure. Mm-hmm. But obviously you get that when you mature, you know what I mean? And he's got fantastic coaches now as well, but I think I brung his game on. I think I got...
I think he's credited you for that as well, hasn't he? He said that you've helped his game massively.
And I think I got 19 goals that season. I think he provided a lot of them. I took all the free kicks as well, eh?
Which he wouldn't have been happy with.
He wouldn't be happy with,
Get the way, wee man.
No, the way, wee man, on you go. But to be fair, you could tell his potential, honestly.
Could you? What did he have that you could tell, just his enthusiasm, his movement?
Nah, you could just tell the way that he could just cut in. You can that wee shift and just hit a ball. He wasn't hitting it accurately enough at Hibs at that stage, but see you next again season. Wow. Mm-hmm. Honestly, so I must have done well for him.
mate, what more for your coaching academy than you've made Lee Griffiths a striker he is? Nice. So if you want to kick the ball like Lee Griffiths, see you guys.
Right.
What do you think the problems were leading up to that Scottish Cup heavy defeat against Hearts, mate? That must have killed you.
Right, so we'll go into it with you, right?
Let's go.
Basically, there's a few issues, right? There was a turnaround. You see when Pat came in, right? There's a turnaround. We signed something like 20 players or something on loan. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. He brought in so many players, like fucking mental. Like, what's the wee guy for Honduras? Brought him in.
The midfielder, I remember.
Boys for Wolves. Boys for the boy Tyrell, who's doing well now. Mm-hmm. You know, they brought all these players in, and you kind of long it takes to gel players together. You get what I mean? And we've got me and Sparky up front, but adding to the squad as well, it takes time to gel together, and it just wasn't working, especially when we were in a relegation battle, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're doing well in the Scottish Cup, and then we went on, played Aberdeen, me and Sparky scored. We done well that way. But, you know, the 5-1 defeat, we done a shaping on the Friday, right? And the team was picked on the Friday, right? and it, the team in the dressing room, you kind of would have put the boards up in the dressing room and they put the team in the formation, it completely changed.
For the Friday?
For the Friday.
And this was the day of the game that had changed?
Mm-hmm. And there was an issue in the hotel, right, about bonuses. There was an issue in the hotel. Some big Stacky wasn't happy because the bonuses are sung. We were getting crap bonuses to win the Scottish. It was like $5,000 or something, or $7,500 when we should be getting something. To win the Scottish Cup, you came up with me, what Hibs have done for ages. We should be getting at least 25. Mm-hmm. I was playing for nothing, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it was...
Why do you think he changed the team? Have you found out why?
I don't know why he changed the team. I don't know. He left Ivan on the bench, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He left Ivan on the bench, right? And that the Honduras guy was coming back for like a hamstring injury. Hadn't he trained the whole week? Came what I mean? Put him straight in and left Ivan on the bench. Why would you leave Ivan Sproul on the bench?
Mm-hmm. See how you being an older player and a vice captain, when you seen these players coming in and things not going right, would you go and see Pat Fenlon? Privately, or?
Nah. I wouldn't go and see him. We never had the greatest relationship, to be fair. Nah.
Why do you think that was? Because you're a big name.
And plus, he brung McPike in.
Big Jazza
was done well for us, done nearly well, and he had a back. He played through pain, to be fair. And fair dues to him for that. Pat made him captain and took me to captain, so basically I wouldn't speak to him.
So after the game, was there a bust up in the dressing room, 5-1 beat, defeat?
Aye. Well, you look at, you've got Sparky, who's a Hibs fan, right? You've got Ian Murray, who's a Hibs fan. You've got me, who's a Hibs fan. You've got Stacky, who's been at the club for years, right? You've got Ivan, who loved the club, right? So you came what it's like after, especially against Hearts, coming in the dressing room, fucking went... Everyone's just went bananas. You came what? There's folk in the changing room laughing after the game, right? Boys who have came in on loan are laughing in the changing room. And I've absolutely flipped it. I've went mental. Stacky's went mental. Mm-hmm. Ian Murray's went mental. You came what I mean? And Pat and his assistant, what's your assistant? The taxi driver guy or whatever. I think he's back, he's driving taxis, man. But to be fair, there was a massive bust up. It was, but obviously, you can what I mean? It's the passion, it was the pride, you can. We thought we had a chance in that game, and you can get beat 5-1 for Hearts. And to be fair, the Hearts pumped us, they deserved it, but tactically, we were. The tactics were all wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just you can't shape a team and then change the team on the Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work.
It's a bit mad, isn't it? So how would, mate, obviously that's a sour note on your Hibs career, but how would you look back on your time at Hibs as a whole?
I think I had a very successful time at Hibs. You know, could walk down Leaf Walk and I wouldn't have to buy a drink, mate.
Mm-hmm. Legend,
know,
didn't you?
Know that I did drink, you came what I mean? 2.5 years.
I'll come with you, mate, and I'll drink it.
Well, you can drink it, Sam, because I'll know anyway. I've been off it for 2.5 years. I'm not planning to get back on it either.
Good man.
But the Hibs fans love me, you came what I mean? The only thing missing for me is basically I left too early, I think, to go to Russia. I think if I stayed, we had a chance to beat Hearts and go and win that Scottish Cup. And in the Scottish Cup, the sour note is obviously getting beat for Hearts, the 5-1. That's the regrets I've got and haunts me. But overall, you know, I'm proud of my achievements at the club. Proud to have achieved everything I have done, you know. And next chapter of my life, I want to go into the coaching and do things my own way.
That's it, mate. So on to the coaching now. What's the plans? It's the Second Chance Academy, as it says on the old jersey. That
right. It's basically it's. Well, I've been going for about 6 months, maybe a wee bit longer. We're just building up. You know, we're just building up a team. You know, we've got a PA, Vicky's a PA. We've got backing for a company, co-owners. we've got West Lothian Council on board, who we're going to give back to girls who have had problems with addiction, and you know, I'm going to go in there and speak to them, and I'm going to give them a coaching session maybe once, twice a month, and try and help people in that way, because I've been through it, Si, you can, and it's a dark road to try and come back to, for that. So, you know, the whole plan with Second Chance is to give these boys, girls, you know, it's to give them opportunities, basically, you can. And we go back to like the pro youth system. You see boys at like 16-year-old and 17-year-old, you've got that short period, a month to 6 weeks, before they lose interest. You can, if they didn't get a contract at Hibs, they go one way or the other. They'll end up pitting the bevy, or they'll go down the other roads. And that's a career done. You get what I mean? So we're going to try and get in there and try and help them and bring them into the academy and try and give back to the community and try and give back to underprivileged kids, you know what I mean?
That's why I think you'll be so good at it, mate, because it's not just coaching you can help them, it's the personal side as well, because as you say, you've been through it all, you've seen it.
Through it all, mate, aye, exactly.
And you've got an event coming up for the Second Chance Academy?
Aye, we've got an event coming up, basically it's a Hibs, well, it's a showcase Hibs Legends game, and basically, we've got massive names coming, massive Hibs legends. We've got Pat Stanton, we've got Marcel, we've got Deeks, Ian Murray, Ivan Sprewell, Jimmy O'Leakley, Gordon Ray. It's all on my Facebook page anyway. But it's going to be a huge event. Most of the proceeds of it is going to charity, and it's not going to like an initial charity. It's going to spread about. It's going to go about the local charities, and you can, I'm into like kids charities, you can, what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's gone round all different charities to try and help that out.
Where's it been held? I've
got a meeting planned with Leanne. We've been emailing each other back and forward, so we're going to meet in June. We're hoping to do it at Easter Road, but I think it's getting reseeded. So it's going to be held at Spartans on the 26th of May in the 18th.
Perfect. Get yourself along, people, for a great day and a great cause.
It'll be a great day. There's hospitality tables for sale to play with the legends. It's £125, which is peanuts. And the tickets are a tenner. Mascots get them for free if kids are a fiver.
Well, me and you are going down Leith Walk. You're going to get me that pint and you can tell us about all your goals. Gaz, top man. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Si. Top man, mate. Brilliant.